Welcome to the Old Presbyterian Meeting House Sermon Podcast, where faith meets everyday life here in Alexandria, Virginia. We're glad you're here. Now center yourself, take a deep breath, and let's dive in.
God, as we come before you this day, we pray that your word would take root in our hearts and bear fruit in our lives. Amen. Perhaps we should begin with the ending. I'd rather not. I like the beginning. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I'd rather linger here. In this moment of hope and possibility, when love envelops and surrounds us, when we know who we are and whose we are, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. In this beginning, our lives are wrapped up in God's purpose and power. Our future stretches out before us, freed of those worries of whether we are enough. Am I too young, too old, too awkward? Will I be up to the task? Will I be able to make a difference? Will my life matter at all? God's word comes. Do not say, I am only a boy. Do not say, I am only Anne. I am only Jim. I am only Deborah. I'm only Brennan. God takes all of our questions and doubts and hesitations and infuses them with God's own mission. You'll go upon whatever I send you, and I will give you what you need. We'd like to linger here at the beginning, in this assurance that God's call is rooted deep within us, that it claims us from even before we were born, and that nothing can take it away. But perhaps we should begin with the ending. The ending actually comes first, before today's reading begins in verse 4. The first three verses of Jeremiah set the context for his ministry. They tell us that the word of the Lord first came to Jeremiah in the 13th year of the reign of King Josiah. This was a time of optimism and hope as the dominant Assyrian power waned and Josiah led the people in a national and religious revival. Josiah reigned for almost 20 more years, but then abruptly, devastatingly, he was killed in battle. Still, the word of the Lord came again to Jeremiah as the nation was threatened by first Egypt and then Babylon. The word of the Lord came during the 11-year reign of King Zedekiah. It came until Jerusalem is captured and destroyed and the people are sent into exile. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah until the fifth month of that captivity, a captivity which would last for two generations. In other words, this beautifully poetic call to Jeremiah will unfold over 40 long years, during which Jeremiah's nation will suffer through tremendous upheaval, conflict, war, and defeat. We know how it ends, and it's not good. So why bother to begin with such hope and power and possibility? Well, here's the thing. This story of faith that we've inherited, this story of God and God's people that comes to us through the pages of Scripture, through the generations of the faithful, it isn't very serene. This story of faith comes to us bearing all the chaos and all the pain and sin and hard-heartedness that is so real and present in our world. This is the stuff we find ourselves living in the midst of more often than not. These are the kinds of endings we have to face. And in the face of these endings, the job of the prophet is to speak God's word. To speak God's word into this world, whatever the time and circumstances may be. Sometimes that word will come as judgment, plucking up and pulling down. Sometimes it reveals the false idols in which we have put our trust. Sometimes it tears down the illusion that God keeps us safe. Sometimes God's word exposes our capacity for self-righteousness and self-deception. Sometimes it reveals the unsustainability of our lives. But even when God's word comes as judgment, it also always points toward hope. The prophet's job, when everything is falling apart, is to call us back to God, into a deeper and truer relationship with God. The prophet meets our despair with the assurance that no matter what the circumstances, there is a solid rock on which we can stand. The prophet relentlessly extends an ever-present invitation to walk in God's way, to trust in God's word, to live by God's light. God's word may sometimes pluck up and pull down, but it also plants and builds. After Jerusalem falls, Jeremiah will write to the people now living in exile, "Thus says the Lord, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf." The time for warnings is past, so God now points them to the future. "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." In the midst of the chaos and destruction and uncertainty and loss, the prophet plants their flag in the ground of God's promise, God's love, God's vision for this world. And what we, of course, know is that the fall of Jerusalem, which begins and ends the book, is not the ending. The whole of Jeremiah's life and ministry, from that call even before he was born through his death in captivity, for that matter, the whole of Israel's life, from the call of Abraham through countless experiences of exile, judgment, and return, all of it is taken up into the larger story of God's love and promise. All of it is taken up into a story that starts, "In the beginning, God created," and ends, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." This is the beginning and the ending toward which the prophet points us, the Alpha and the Omega, the God who was and is and ever shall be. To quote the prophet Isaiah, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." No matter what the circumstances, the prophet's job is to point us toward God. So, with this ending in mind, let's go back to the beginning, back to Jeremiah's call. I'm going to guess most of us don't share the particulars of Jeremiah's calling. Not everyone is called to such a public, outward-facing, charged ministry. Not everyone has such a clear sense of God giving them words to speak. But I do believe that all of us share Jeremiah's calling to be God's person in this world. Like Jeremiah, all of us can, with our lives, point toward God. Like Jeremiah, all of us can be signposts toward hope. We tend to think of our calling in terms of our career choice, or maybe our volunteer work, or even our financial generosity. But our calling is also present in our kindness, in our friendships, in our parenting. It's in our gifts for inspiring others or for walking alongside them. It's in being a good neighbor, in attending to a stranger, in offering a listening ear. It's there in the dozens of daily interactions in which we can reflect grace into the world. It's there in our worship and our study and our prayer. With Jeremiah, we understand that our calling isn't primarily about our skills, our abilities, our talents. It's not about our significance or power. It's not about the things we can or cannot change. It's about God working through us in service of God's vision for the world. What our calling requires, Kathleen Callahan writes, is a readiness and willingness to be a conduit for God's grace to work through us for others. When we begin with an ending rooted in God's power and God's love, then every act of mercy, every welcoming of the stranger, every quiet speaking up on behalf of another, every prayer offered, every generous spirit extended, every time we share God's grace, no matter what the circumstances, we plant a flag in that ground of God's promise, and our lives become yet another signpost toward hope. I'm thinking about a young woman, Meg Gallagher. Some of you know her. She and her family were members here back when she was a child, and I still follow her journey on Facebook. Meg is in her early 20s, and she is a cancer survivor. As a survivor, she's grateful for the achievements of modern medicine, grateful for the support and love of family and friends and healthcare workers, grateful for the gift of being alive. But Meg also has to make sense of a future that is very different from the one she'd imagined for herself. She's coping with severe chronic medical issues, and more than anything, she is coping with the realization these are likely going to be with her whole life long. It's a lot. It's hard. It's sad and frustrating, and there is tremendous grief. And yet, Meg is also fiercely, fiercely determined within the life that she has been given to find her way toward living out God's call. I'm also thinking about our caregiver connection gathering. People who have found themselves in the role of caregiver for a spouse or a parent or a sibling. They know the ending toward which they're heading, the ending toward which all of us are heading. But that ending is wrapped up in a powerful story of faithfulness and love. This isn't a calling that comes through the saccharine screen of a Hallmark movie. It comes with love and sometimes laughter, but also with exhaustion and frustration and guilt. Letting go, holding on. To do this work is absolutely to plant your flag in the ground of God's promises. It is to proclaim that love and faithfulness are real, that they are powerful, that they will endure when the shape of our relationship changes. and even when our bodies or memories dwindle away. I'm also thinking about the aging homeless man walking carefully down the street, and about the stories we tell ourselves when we see him. Stories that can pluck up and pull down, or build and plant. Might we begin these stories wondering how God's grace is known through him? Might we begin these stories with the ending in which we will one day see him again, gathered round the table in the fellowship of God? I think of people trying to stay true to their calling in the midst of all kinds of losses. I think of the forces of change that are crashing and clamoring around us, and I know that we have to begin with the ending. We begin not with the endings we fear, but with the ending that will hold firm, even if Jerusalem falls. Even if we lose everything, even if all else is plucked up and pulled down and crashes away, we begin with that ending. And then we go back to the beginning, to the God who knew us before we were formed in the womb, the God who calls us forth, the God who has given us the gift of bearing God's grace into the world. We go back to the God who never gives up on us, the God who calls us as inept, insignificant, and scared as we are, no matter what our particular circumstances, no matter what is facing our world, there is still, always and forever, an invitation to speak God's truth, to shine Christ's light. In all the stuff, may we commit ourselves to planting our flags in the ground of God's promise. May our lives be signposts toward hope, and our every step of faith a truth that will endure. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Old Presbyterian Meeting House in Alexandria, Virginia. We are glad to walk beside you in faith, reflection, and community. We hope today's sermon spoke to you. If so, please share it with a friend. Find us online at opmh.org/podcast. And until next time, may grace and peace go with you.